Loading me down and queuing me up once again. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. And because it's Tuesday, that column is coming from calendar year 2009, which was a long time ago. Full details about Offbeat Oregon history are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of when Andy Warhol came to Oregon. Well, actually, Andy Warhol didn't come to Oregon, but lots of Oregonians thought he came to Oregon. He did the lecture circuit in Ray-Bans and powdered wig and essentially pulled a fast one on Oregon art students. This was in 1967. I'll tell you the full story in just a moment here. This story was published on February 1st, 2009, under the headline, Andy Warhol Pulls a Fast One on Oregon Art Students. Okay, here we go. It was October 5th, 1967, and students were spilling out the doors of the biggest room in the University of Oregon's Erb Memorial Union. At the front of the room, a man stood with a cigarette in one hand, Ray-Bans on, a shock of white blonde hair. The students had come to see Andy Warhol talk about his underground films. Warhol was booked for a tour of Western colleges, including the University of Utah, Montana State, Linfield College in McMinnville, and the U of O. But they didn't get Andy. The students didn't know it, but the man at the front of the packed ballroom at the U of O was actually one of their own, a University of Oregon actor named Alan Majet. I hope I pronounced that right. Alan was one of Andy's cronies at his factory art loft in New York. Warhol, at the time, had never left the Eternal City. Some students grumbled about it afterwards. Warhol, they said, had showed a boring art film and gave them answers that were either really, really deep or really, really stupid. Quote,
I don't know how to say what my meaning is. I guess it just means to me that I film it, mostly.
Quote,
that,
why we make films,
is one of the big questions. Let's just say we do it to keep us off the streets.
Quote,
all kinds of things. It changes all the time.
This last was in response to a student asking, sir, do you give a damn? And following the question up with, about what? And by the way, if you are a graduate of the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communications and have ever had the privilege of taking a class from Bill Winter, you will instantly recognize the do you give a damn question. The reception was less hostile at Linfield, where, according to Leland John, an art professor from Mount Angel College who attended, Warhol responded to most questions by simply giggling. When Warhol left, though, rumors started to circulate. These originated at the University of Utah, where Warhol started his speaking tour. The artist had been very insistent on not being photographed by anyone on his tour. But a student journalism had sneaked a photo of him, shot from the waist with one of those twin-lens Rolleiflex cameras that were then the hottest news cameras around. Professors who had met the real Warhol and smelled a rat compared the pictures and concluded that they were two different people. But by the time they saw the picture, Warhol was long gone from Utah, and by the time they started talking about what they thought of it, he'd already done his University of Oregon performance. Rumors of this conclusion of fraud reached Don Bischoff, then a reporter for the Eugene Register Guard. Don, like a good reporter, went straight to the source to find out. Quote,
we had an aging hippie working on our copy desk named Bill Thomas,
Bischoff recalled later.
Somehow he had the number for the payphone on the wall at the factory, so I called the number and Paul Morrissey answered it.
Morrissey, clearly taken by surprise, hemmed and hawed and finally put Warhol on the line. And after some head-scratching about how Bischoff could possibly know that it was the real Warhol this time, the, quote, Peter Pan of pop art, confessed, quote,
he,
that is Midget,
was better than I am,
Warhol told Bischoff.
He was what the people expected. They liked him better than they would have liked me.
Well, all righty then. Quote,
his explanation of how he sent the guy didn't make sense,
recalled Bischoff.
I still think to this day that he was pulling another Andy Warhol spoof and proving a point that people wouldn't know the difference.
Well, that's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. It's about 185 columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed if you'd like to get in on the conversation online. The website's also where you'll find the full citations of sources for this story. Sources for today's episode included the Eugene Register Guard and Oregon Daily Emerald Archives, and also the personal recollections of Don Bischoff and Leland John. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, just plain @offbeatoregon. And that is it for today. Tomorrow, which is Wednesday, we'll be talking about the legend of the solid gold snuff can, one of the only gold country legends having to do with the Mackenzie River Valley, a story that was first published in February of 2010. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.